Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK, sponsored by Brewers Outlet. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Did the suit show up for work today, or did he have to make a trip to Mifflinburg?
I have not seen him, but it's also lunchtime.
That's usually 3 hours. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports domestics microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drink, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. Pickle bar, led by the barrels and the dills, indeed second to none. Bought at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Nate Bauer is going to join us at 1:35. Roman3.com, Blue White Illustrated. I literally texted him 2 minutes ago. I said, look, this is last second out of the blue. I said, after the rec hall thing, I got to get you on because he has some definite opinions about it. And I said, can you do it? He gets back to me in about 15 seconds. It says, yeah, 1:35 would be great. I offered him 1:35 or 2:05. And I said, why did it take so long to get back to me? And he texted me back, lack of enthusiasm. So we'll have him on. Plus, what, the king today? Got that. Tony Knopp's on the show next Thursday on the Business of Sports, the segment that the suit hates. Not that he doesn't like Tony Knopp and doesn't find him to be highly intelligent, because Tony does use polysyllabic words, so it, you know, kind of throws the suit off a little bit. But why does he hate it? Okay? And it's very simple, because there are going to be a lot of people that, like, understand exactly what the suit's talking about. Okay? The suit has, and I completely understand that this is, okay, I kid around at the things I say about him, but look, when it's time to get serious, I'll get serious about it. Okay? And it's time to get serious about on this topic. He has a viewpoint of sports that is meant to be fun, entertainment, emotionally invested. You know, he loves that when they do the opening to the game, all part of the show. He loves all that. And there are a lot of people that feel that that's the way it should be. Right, Todd? I mean, there are a lot of people that feel it's the way it should be. How about that?
Yes. I would agree with that.
Right? And he feels that way. And I completely understand it. Unfortunately, right, he runs into a guy like me that says, well, look, we got to be realistic about this. That's not really the way it is. Right? It is, in the end, right, all those things he talked about, which are accurate, which attracts people to watching it or going to it. So that's the lure. So he's not incorrect. But it's business. And so let's just take any other sport that people love. Okay? You have to be able to sustain your revenue producing sport, the one that's in the black, you have to be able to sustain, obviously, the other sport that you have is in the black that supplements it. You know, I'm talking about college now. Okay. But then you got to be able to pay for the other 29. Now, like, for example, here, men's ice hockey just about breaks even. They lost a little bit last year, but they just about break even. But everybody else loses money.
All right.
They all lose. I mean, I always point out Penn State wrestling is the ultimate. You know, and this is, you know, I'm talking about Penn State wrestling. I'm not talking about, you know, the national training camp or anything like that. Penn State wrestling sells out, best program in their company. You know, the long list of accolades is gigantic. What's the one negative? It's the bottom line. They, last year's numbers show they lost $800,000. Okay. That's just what's been published out there. Okay. I mean, all you got to do is add and subtract. The numbers are right there if anybody wants to get into it. Right? It's right there. And when I privately bring it up, I go, oh, yeah. Yeah. They lose money. Well, if that program loses money, because they don't have a radio deal. They don't have a TV. I mean, it's on the radio. Jeff does a great job, but it's a one-station deal. They don't have a TV deal. Oh, they're on BTN. They're on BTN five times a year. Okay? Or, you know, that's it. I mean, let's be realistic here. Then there's the Big Ten tournament, and then there's the Nationals on ESPN. Right? So that's seven. So you're not going to put, you know, what are you going to do? Take the whole number, divide it up, and they get their one. Not, you can't do it that way. It's too complicated to do it that way. But that's the bottom line. And how do you finance this? I mean, this isn't Ford, Lincoln, Mercury, where you notice who's not there anymore. Mercury. Why isn't Mercury there anymore? It was the division of Ford that was losing money. So they don't make the product anymore. I mean, in real life business, underperforming divisions financially get cut. You don't want it to happen, but that's the reality of it. So you do have to talk about the money part of it. And that's why, I mean, and he always says, oh, I hate that segment. Loves Tony, but he hates the segment. And I completely understand why he feels that way. I mean, it takes away from the shine of, oh, yeah, you know, it's like, okay. Yeah, I get it. I completely get it.
I wish I wasn't, but I feel like I'm too cynical to feel like that anymore.
Well, maybe, and maybe a lot of people are becoming cynical because of it.
Yeah.
Now, let's get to something he's going to love, and may, I don't know if you love it or not, but the big step forward in the EA Sports game. College Football 2025. Comes out this summer. Today is the first day that athletes can opt in. And already for Penn State, Nick Singleton has opted in. Now, what do they get? First of all 134 teams are going to be represented in the game. If you opt in, your name's in the game. If you don't opt in, they just, you know, you've got a number on there and they refer to your number, but you're going to be in the game anyway. Okay? Each player is going to get $600 per. Okay? Plus a copy of the game. Now you're saying only $600. Remember, in Division I football, all 85 scholarship players are supposed to be represented on here. That's 1,000 players. Times 600 is 6.6 million. It's actually not a small number. But they get a copy of the game, which is worth $70. The suit has wanted badly to have the EA Sports college football game brought back. It's been 11 years. And it's coming back.
I'm just as excited as he is, Steve.
So you play it?
Religiously, since it was Bill Walsh football in the early 90s.
Great. No, again, I've never played a video game, so I don't really, I don't do that. But I know people who love the game. And by opting in, it's going to be, and they give the ball to Singleton, right? And they'll be using the names. Schools have been sending them all pictures and graphics and everything for stadiums, school songs, things like that, that are all in there. And that is, and it'll all be part of it. So I'm sure that these graphic artists are, let's be honest, they are brilliant at what they do. I'll never forget, now this is going back, I mean, you're talking about 13, 14 years ago. They did the commercial, It's in the Game. Now, this is when you could not use names and so forth. And when they were showing it on TV, the commercial, I've talked about this many times, so it's I'm repeating an old story. But they showed Braxton Miller, and they showed Carlos Hyde, right? But they don't mention them by name. But the graphic artists were so good, you could look at the facial on each one and go, yeah, it looks exactly like them. These guys are good. Right. That's when I knew the NCAA was going to be in deep trouble, that they overstepped, because they made that deal with EA Sports on the game. Now, I don't know what they put the money back into. I'm sure they put it back into something. But, you know, the players, though, were always a riot. I'd go back. There was something I had to do in Lash Building after a practice or something like that. I'd go back and I'd had to, one time I had to go to the academic area for something to talk to a player. And the players were sitting in the lounge, so I had to go through the lounge to get back there. And they're all like, check it out, Mr. Jones, I'm in the game. They were like, they didn't care about money. They were just thrilled that they were in the game. And they'll get a little coin for it, $600, plus the game, if they opt in. And several players have been opting in. Denzel Burke opted in. Garrett Nussmeier of LSU opted in. Quinn Ewers has already opted in from Texas. But, yeah, the game is coming back this summer. And I'm thrilled for you. I think you'll have a good time.
I think people sometimes don't realize that, you know, some of the most popular games sell, as you know, make as much money as a Hollywood blockbuster. So even at $600 in a game, they're getting a lot of exposure they weren't getting for the last 7 years.
Right, no question. Now whether 600 is enough, because that comes out to 6.6 million. Let's see what kind of profit EA Sports makes on this and whether we should have an opinion about whether it should be higher or not. Right? I mean, we can have that discussion after we see what the profit margin is on it for EA Sports. So, there you go.
Like you said, $600 doesn't sound like much, but when it turns into $6.6 million and you realize how many players are in Division One?
Right, because there are 11,000 of them. That's why it comes out to that number. All right, we'll take a break. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket, here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Okay, great to have you with us on the show today. Brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury. And a big weekend coming up. Nate Bauer at 1:35 today. After the Rec Hall experience, there's been a lot of debate about Rec Hall versus the Jordan Center that's been resurrected because Penn State has not played a game in Rec Hall in men's basketball in a little bit more than 8 years. So, like 2015, 9 years. Well, that was December 2015. It's February 2024. Okay. It's 8 years and, about, 3 months. So, but yeah. Excuse me. So that's what's coming, and they'll play Indiana tomorrow. It's a coaches versus cancer game tomorrow as well. But it's also an interesting weekend here because, yes, you have Coaches versus Cancer Day, which does bring a bigger paid crowd in. It's going to be interesting to see what happens with the students tomorrow because it is State Paddy's Day tomorrow.
Okay.
I was telling a good friend today that I'd forgotten. This is fine. 4 or 5 years ago, whatever it was. I'd forgotten about, look, State Paddy's Day is not on my radar. I know you're shocked at that. And I'd forgotten, you know, about it. And I had to go to from one end of town to the other to get something. And the quickest way was to cut through downtown to go down College Avenue. Right? So I'm going in there. I'm like, what the heck? I'm going 2 inches, 2 inches, 2 inches, right? And there's people roaming all over. I go, what the heck's going on here? And that's when I found out it was State Paddy's Day. I'm like, okay.
I was going to say, why in February? The name implies March.
Yeah, well, all right. St. Patrick's Day is the 17th. Of March, obviously. They are on break from, I think spring break this year is March 11th to the 16th. Is it March 11th, 16th? Yeah, I think it is. I might be wrong about that. It might be, it could be March 4th. I think it's March 4th to the 8th. Is spring break. And I'm the last person to ask as to why and when it is. It's not my area of expertise.
I'm guessing it's one of those things that gets loosely organized and not organized actually by somebody.
I think it is organized. Now, how it's carried out may not seem like it's organized. Well, okay.
Life in a college town.
Yeah. So we'll see. We'll see. But my point is it's tomorrow, and what will it do to student attendance tomorrow? We'll find out. Now, it's also a big weekend with men's ice hockey tonight, Wisconsin, and tomorrow night, Wisconsin, women's gymnastics tonight, tomorrow, women's ice hockey with RIT in the playoff today, tomorrow, and wrestling Sunday at 2:00 with Edinburgh on Senior Day.
This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK, sponsored by Brewers Outlet. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drink, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and out every day. 6 great flavors of slushies. And the pickle bar led by my personal favorites, the barrels and the dills, indeed second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Elmo's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. We now bring in, just getting back from Rec Hall, where he's been there for 2 days.
That's right.
Soaking in all the atmosphere, the outstanding Nate Bowers, sir. Welcome.
Just single tears streaming down my cheeks of what it means to watch basketball in a basketball venue.
Well, look, I've talked about this many times, but like, for example, the Palestra, that's an old-fashioned gym. I will give Mackey Arena credit, maybe 14,000 seats, but that's a basketball arena slash gym. Yep. There are a couple places that are like that. So what did you expect when you went in, and then what was the reality of what you saw?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I've been to a couple of the return to Rec games, right? I mean, I certainly had not attended before Pat Chambers, right? When Chambers was Penn State's head coach, he had a few games over there. I think 2015, I want to say, maybe 2016, they followed up. And it was just as good, right? It is a condensed atmosphere. There really is not a bad seat in the house because you're on top of the floor. And so the combination of, and I think that this is important, the combination of high level basketball, right? You got a Big Ten game in there with the nation's number 12 ranked team, and a crowd that is into it because the building allows for you to be into it. It gave it a buzz. It gave it a buzz, and you know, certainly an atmosphere that, with or without the result, existed. Right? Like it's such an interesting evolution of the conversation in the aftermath. You know, you hear some of the back and forth. Would people be talking about it with the same enthusiasm if Penn State had lost that game? And my perspective is absolutely, because if you were in that gym on Wednesday night, of which there were 6,000 plus people, mm-hmm. right? Nobody at the beginning of that game felt anything other than, hey, this is awesome. This is so cool that they're playing basketball in here.
Yeah, Joe Crispin asked me yesterday at practice where I would rank it, because I guess the word's out. I've broadcast a couple games in there, and I said probably second. I'd probably put the game with Purdue when Glenn Robinson was there, the National Player of the Year, and Penn State won. And right behind it would be the Atlantic 10 Tournament Championship game when they beat George Washington. It wasn't quite filled that night, but it was a great crowd, great atmosphere. I said, I've got number two just because of how it played out, the emotion of it, people storming the floor trying to, obviously, to, you know, to get your autograph, which I thought was really a cool thing to see.
Of course, naturally.
Right.
No, it was a college basketball moment, right? Like, I mean, yeah. There is such a hard time, and I think that, you know, obviously both of us have been around this for long enough to acknowledge that there's something different about viewing college basketball. Like, the venue matters. The venue,
sure.
Like,
right. It doesn't guarantee wins. Okay, it doesn't guarantee wins, but it guarantees something where you walk out and go, "Whoa, that was something else."
That was something else. I just saw high level skill, athleticism, basketball. Like, basketball is a great sport, and I my sense of, from a broader perspective, is that the Penn State community, in a lot of ways, can't appreciate the sport of basketball very much is influenced by the Bryce Jordan Center.
Yeah.
Right? Like, if you don't have a Plum viewing position, right? So either of the sidelines. If you're on the baseline on the floor, I guess we can include that. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, the only good seats in that building are on the sidelines within 30 rows, right? I mean, even from where I sit on press row, I feel so disconnected, right? You're behind me. I feel so disconnected from the action, from the sights, the sounds, you name it. All of that is, you're just removed. And so it is a pleasant experience to sit there and it's fine. I can have a conversation with the guy next to me. I'm comfortable. If I need to go to the bathroom, it's there. There's concessions. It's there, right. It's very, very comfortable. Rec Hall is the opposite of that. It is a pain to park. It is a, there are no concessions. You are crammed in next to each other, but it's 10 times, a million times better. It's just, it's so much better to watch a basketball, like the actual act of what you're there for, to watch college basketball is light years superior to anything that you can see at the Bryce Jordan Center.
Yeah. Okay. Now, obviously, the wrestling program is the single best program of any kind in collegiate sports. I mean, they're the best. I mean, doesn't matter the sport, they're the best. They've earned it. Cale's staff, he and his staff, along with the rest, they've earned it.
Yeah.
Okay. But there's always these little realities that creep up when people say, oh, basketball's nothing. And one of them was last March. And again, this hasn't been talked about that much. I've talked about it a lot. But there's a reality here. Because this is a gigantic wrestling area. But last year, the NCAA Wrestling Championships were on ESPN, the finals, opposite Penn State, Texas, in the NCAA tournament. And the wrestling championship had total viewership of 452,000, which is good. That's good. The basketball game with Penn State and Texas had 6.6 million.
Correct.
Okay, so it's not like there's not interest out there, but the arena and the experience of the arena does figure in as to how people perceive the program. I mean, Brad Underwood was mad they didn't play in the BJC.
Yep, correct. Do you know what was on at Champs downtown in State College that night? It was basketball. Okay.
Right.
Here's the thing. I feel like it is an unwinnable and unworthy fight for basketball to have to try to present it as though it's a basketball versus wrestling thing in terms of ownership or having a home at Rec Hall, right? It's a losing battle, right? It shouldn't be, right? It should not be something where it's as though basketball proponents are saying, well, wrestling doesn't turn a profit, and so because of that, or basketball is a much more popular sport, that basketball should take precedence.
They've earned whatever, every great thing they've earned. Okay?
They can do whatever they want.
Right
in perpetuity.
Because they have earned it and continue to work hard to earn it. That should never, right? It's just a question of moving forward. What do you do? Do you build a wrestling only arena and let basketball go in there, or do you do something with basketball?
Yep. So here's the plan, Steve. I figured it out. Credit elsewhere, because this is not an original. But the more I looked into it, the more reasonable and literally viable it is, which is midweek Big Ten games in January, February, and March, okay? You can play those at the Bryce Jordan Center. There is no conflict. There is nobody's being displaced. Maybe men's volleyball. Wrestling is not displaced. Certainly women's volleyball is not displaced. Right. You cannot do it logistically in November and December. It just doesn't work. You could squeeze one in, but you have this middle ground right now that I think, personally, Penn State's administration and basketball need to work toward to figure it out of, okay, this was a great experience for Penn State basketball on Wednesday night. You can't do that all the time. You can't live there, right? It's just not right. possible.
Right.
It's not functional. You can't move your offices in there. It's a non-starter to even really explore that. What you can do, however, is you have an opportunity where this was an event that sparked something. There was a buzz. Mm-hmm. It gave you something. You're not seeing a dramatic loss in terms of gate, right? Your tickets sold from a weeknight Big Ten game at the Bryce Jordan Center what you would have, right? I mean, you're talking about 1,000 tickets, basically.
Yeah.
And you have an opportunity to, kind of replicate things where logistically there would be things to figure out. There's an expense to this, right? It is not free to put a court in. And no. that's, you know, for every listener, you have to put a court in.
Okay? You have to rent it. Okay.
You have to rent. Yeah. So there's a cost to that. There's a cost in man hours. There's a reason that Mike Rhodes opened his post-game press conference talking about how appreciative he was. Like, it is an undertaking to put a game in there.
Yep.
It's just a matter of finding that balance of there are 20 Big Ten games, right, on your schedule. You have 10 at home. 5 are going to be on the weekends, right? 5 are going to be weekdays. And so if you can find a way to put those 5 games the way that Villanova splits arenas, the way that St. John's splits arenas, if you can figure out a way to harness that and give your team an advantage that currently blatantly does not exist for home Bryce Jordan Center games in the Big Ten schedule in January and February, you do that. You got to figure it out. You got to find a way to make it work financially, because it is so obvious that anybody that was in that building can recognize that it was an advantage for Penn State basketball on Wednesday night.
Yeah, it was. And, look, they backed it up and played well enough. I mean, there's no getting around it. I don't think it's any coincidence that, I don't know, is it now 3 times in the last couple of weeks that Ace has had 10 assists or more? I mean, not bad, but in terms of the quality of the game, you just felt like the entire night, even when Penn State was down 14, down 12, down 10, the crowd was still into it because the building keeps the noise in.
Yep. Yep. And look, there's another reality here that they could even be better. the crowd can even be, and you heard that at the end of the game. You heard that in how they responded. I mean, look, the one, people have conversations about venues not mattering from an analytical standpoint, right? That there are not differences in huge results, right? The big numbers that you can look at, which is Penn State has played very well at the Bryce Jordan Center this year. They've shot better at home. They shoot terribly on the road.
Mm-hmm.
But here's my argument that it is blatant to me. Mm-hmm. Penn State got away with at least one call at the end of that game. And the officiating, we can go back and forth. There were some very, inconsistent officiating in the first 48 minutes, or excuse me, 38 minutes of that game. But in the last 2 minutes of that game, Penn State, there was a bunch there. there that I would think a whistle would have been called that wasn't called, or a whistle was called that would not have been called at the Bryce Jordan Center. I firmly believe that. And if it, like, that is a demonstrable thing that you could say, okay, it helps you win. It helps you. It's an actual thing that is different. And in that venue, Penn State got a couple of those calls, and it ended up being a big, big difference maker down the stretch.
Yeah, but Coleman Hawkins walked twice. Okay, I'd
that's
like
true.
To point
that is
out.
That is a good offsetting counterpoint to what I just said. But
you know, walked twice. But that's
Puff,
the
Puff might have Puff might have caught an arm on that inbound pass.
Right. No, exactly. Well, no, know, and that's a traffic play. That stuff happens because of the trap on it all the time, and they didn't see it. You know, just like they didn't see the ball go off a foot out of bounds, and they all looked at each other. Not Dick and I are like, "What are you looking at? What are you looking at each other for? What do you need a fourth guy?" What the heck?
Yep.
I get a little concerned about some of that stuff. I mean, look, there are things that would have to be improved there too. The concessions. The parking, as you mentioned, the parking. It's not like there aren't some advantages of the Jordan Center. It's just when you sit in the end zones or the corners, you're removed from the game. Now, from a broadcasting point of view, yes, I do sit behind you, but because I do football, right, that viewpoint for me is as a viewpoint of calling plays. I'm not getting screened up there.
I mean,
you're next to the bench. You're next to the bench. Watch a game when I'm next to the bench someplace. I'm doing the bob and weave. I'm going around Mike. What do you, Mike?
Yeah, yeah. But even if they moved you up to press row, which is right, was on the track.
Yeah,
it's still a considerably better experience. And listen, like I'm happy to acknowledge that this is self-serving. Right, like, I as a my workplace environment, the place that I have gone for 20 years to watch basketball games as a part of my job, is just not enticing. It's not it, right, and so I would love personally, selfishly, to have that opportunity. But I'm also spelling out, look, this is something that's clear to the spectators. I likened it yesterday. I wrote a story about it yesterday. It's almost like the idea of, and this is half-baked, Steve, so just rip into it if you want. It's you know, this notion of like suburban sprawl, right? So people shopped in towns, even in downtown State College. People went shopping, and parking was a pain. It was more expensive, right? You have to walk farther between stores. That is, and so people gravitated toward going, right? You drive your car, you park at Target, you go inside, you get everything you want, and then you come out. But it's soulless. It's soulless. It has no mystique. There's no community to it. There's no, right? Like that experience is just lacking in, right? And maybe that's what you want. Maybe that's what people ultimately prefer, but I can point to the attendance numbers and the general vibe of regarding Penn State basketball over the last 20 years and say, listen, you have something on campus, right? You don't have to build something. You have something that already exists that you, again, logistically, you can't do it all the time, but you can find a middle ground where it makes sense, right? It makes sense to find a middle ground here where you can move some games over there, provide your team with an advantage, and weekend games at the Bryce Jordan Center, they make a ton of sense. Yeah. If your program develops, maybe eventually you need the Bryce Jordan Center and its capacity. Right. But I'm totally mystified by the notion that everybody's cool at Penn State, right, in terms of fan experience. Everybody's cool with hockey being an incredibly difficult ticket. Football is a tough ticket. Yep. Wrestling is an extremely tough ticket. But for whatever reason, the expectation is you should be able to walk up to the ticket counter at the Bryce Jordan Center 5 minutes before a game starts and just get exactly the seat that you want.
Right. And the bottom line is the single, in terms of tickets sold, the biggest number in the Jordan Center this season is Penn State basketball. Wrestling second, circumstances, whatever. But you know what that means? That means there were tickets available for both. Okay. Neither one ended up being a tough ticket this particular year. Now, those will both be surpassed by the Olympic trials. Okay.
Sure.
I mean, that's a tough ticket. But it is, I look at this, and I think from a fan point of view, right? The old, it's, it may be a dump, but it's our dump. You know what I mean? Like, that's, I mean, there is more of a feeling of Penn State fans, even though Penn State has not played in Rec Hall in men's basketball more, a little bit more than 8 years. It was 2015 to February 2024. That fans are more connected to Rec Hall than they ever have been being connected to the Jordan Center, even though that's been the home for 26 years.
Yeah.
Or 28 years. It's been the home for 28 years, and they're exponentially more emotionally connected to Rec Hall than they are to the Jordan Center.
I think that is one of many, right? It's complicated. For the people that were at that game, even the ones who had a great time can acknowledge the limitations of the building in terms of comfort.
Right.
In terms of amenities. You can acknowledge that. I just think that if you truly are a supporter of Penn State basketball, if you want to see the Penn State basketball team win, and look, apathy is a huge part of the story of this program for decades. But if that's something that matters to you, you can recognize and see that this is, like, it's worth it. It is, right. It might be a less comfortable experience in the arena, but for 2 hours, you're going to have a great time.
Right.
You're going to have so much fun. You're going to be so tight and packed next to people. It's almost, to be honest with you, it's super interesting to me. When I reflect on it, it's like, what is Penn State going to lose with football at Beaver Stadium when the West Side isn't like that anymore,
right?
And you know, I don't want to divert the conversation, but there is something to that. There is something to being crammed in next to a bunch of other people of whom you may know and may not know, but you're all there rooting for the same thing. You're all invested in the outcome of this same thing. It's something. There that matters.
But, I mean, it's also one thing for any of us who have, you know, I've probably at least done 250, 275 men's games in there in my career, whatever. It's one thing for me to tell Pat Kraft what it's like. It's another thing for him to sit there and experience it like he did the other night. You know, and let's give him credit. Nope. He said, hey, let's do it. And then I think he got a lot of answers in watching it.
Yep. For all of that, I mean, that's the reality of Penn State's situation right now is for all of those guys, Mike Rhodes, yes, but also Pat Kraft, Adam Miller, you name it. There were a lot of people in that arena on Wednesday night who saw a basketball game for the first time, right? Who had that experience. It's hard to duplicate. It is hard to duplicate. It is hard to understand until you're in it. But there's something there. There is a sense of community that you just don't get. You just don't have watching basketball at the Bryce Jordan Center.
With that, I'll see you at the BJC tomorrow.
Yep. We'll be back. We'll be back. We'll see how many people are there. It's a weekend crowd. It might be decent.
It's Coaches versus Cancer Day, which usually draws a bigger crowd plus a Saturday, so we'll see.
Yep.
Nate, thanks so much. You jumped in the last second and basically carried the half hour.
Stop. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it always.
See ya. Thanks.
Yep.
Nate Bauer on 3.com, Blue White Illustrated, on the show today. It is a very interesting debate. And again, for Pat Kraft, it's one thing for all of us to tell him, oh, you ought to see this place, you know, when they put a basketball game in there. It's another thing for now firsthand to sit there and experience and go, okay, because you know, with Pat, that means the wheels start turning because he wants to win. And that building gives maybe even a better shot at doing it. It doesn't guarantee it, but it gives you a better shot. A basketball gym.